I want to speak to Sarah McCracken in the meantime. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Representing the Controlled School Support Council. This all has to do with the buses that are driven by the teachers and the changes that are being considered. Just remind me about the legislation and the possibility that teachers won't be able to drive the minibuses.
That's right. This has been rumbling on since early June, and it became apparent there's been a change in the regulations regarding volunteers who drive minibuses. So the majority of people in Northern Ireland over the age of about 25, I think it is, are able to drive up to a 15-seater minibus on a volunteer capacity. So that's not for hire and reward. It's not part of your day-to-day job. And the impact of this in teachers is, say I'm a science teacher and I am going to take a cohort of children and young people to the Mourns for the Duke of Edinburgh on Saturday as a volunteer. This reinterpretation of the regulations means that I can't do that now without a D1 licence and a certificate of professional competence in terms of driving. So I would then have to undertake a test, I would have to pay for all that, and basically I can't drive the minibus in a volunteer capacity.
Why are the government changing the rules? Has it got to do with road safety?
Not really to do with safety, it's more to do with people who drive for a living. So if you're driving for hire and reward, of course you need to have the correct licensing in place, you need to have the correct competence and qualifications. But the irony of this change in legislation, so to go back to my example, if I can't drive the minibus in school for my young people that I teach in a volunteer capacity, I can still go out in the evening and drive for my local youth club. So it's not about safety per se. Of course we need to be properly licensed and regulated, and the safety of children is foremost, but it's really just about stopping teachers from driving in a volunteer capacity within their own schools, and it's just a consequence of this change in legislation.
Yeah, but I'm missing something. What's the benefit for the government in changing it?
We really don't know, and that's something that we're trying to find out. We've been seeking a meeting with the Department of Infrastructure to see, you know, who's been consulted in terms of this change in legislation. You know, we need to put forward the views of our principals who we've recently consulted with to find out the devastating impact that this is going to have and how they deliver education for our children and young people.
Where are we with it? Is it a consultation process? Is it a fait accompli? Where are we with it?
Well, initially at the start of June, the restrictions were going to come in place literally overnight, and there was an outcry over that. That decision was put back until the 1st of January, and there's currently a consultation ongoing about the guidance around this piece of legislation, which is what we're responding to. The other issue we're dealing with at the moment is that there's rumoured to be a legal challenge against the Department for Infrastructure for their delay in implementing the regulation. So, again, there's rumours going round that the consultation is about to close and the effects could come into place as early as next week. And again, we're trying to get some detail around that.
Yeah, I must say, you know, it's one of those things that was out there somewhere and I haven't even looked at it over the last number of years or months when it's been spoken about. And for the life of me, I still can't get a handle on why the infrastructure minister would have wanted to have done it in the first place. Is it to encourage people to hire minibuses? Is it to protect jobs? Is that what it's about?
Again, we don't know, and these are the answers that we're seeking at the minute. It's obviously life's made a bit more difficult. We don't have ministers in place, but we're certainly working with, we've been engaging very well with political parties to try and get to the bottom of this, with trade unions and indeed with other school advocacy bodies on the ground. So we're all working together to try and get a sensible resolution to this, which is going to cost schools an awful lot of money, and the money's just not there at the moment.
And are you hopeful that they won't push through with it, that some civil servant won't sign off on it in the absence of our government?
Very much so. We'd like the teachers who volunteer to drive as an addition to what they do, we'd like that volunteering to be recognised for what it is. It's the goodwill that many teachers have for our children and young people. There's going to be some teachers out there who must drive as a core part of their job, and that's fine. If they need to be licensed in this new way, that's absolutely fine. We wouldn't have an issue with that. But the vast majority of teachers drive in addition to their core teaching job, so we think that needs to be recognised sensibly.
And is it only in controlled schools? If you're in a maintained school, will you be able to drive the minibus?
No, this applies to all schools in Northern Ireland. It also applies to voluntary and community groups. It could apply to rural transport associations who use volunteer drivers. So the impact's going to be felt right across Northern Ireland on a huge number of people.
And where did you say you couldn't drive it at school, but you could go and drive it somewhere else? What example was that?
Yeah, so say I'm a science teacher and I take children out in the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme in a volunteer capacity at the weekend as part of the school. I couldn't do that without a special licence under this new interpretation of the legislation, but I could go out using my own driver's licence, drive a similar style of minibus for say, the youth club on a Friday evening.
Yeah, so why can you do it for the youth club if they're introducing the legislation right across the board then?
It's to do with where you're employed. So I'm not employed by the youth club. I'm employed by the school. Therefore, the new regulation is deeming that even though driving a minibus is not a core part of my role profile and my job description, they're still deeming it as part of my work. So it's just a reinterpretation of the regulation.
Yeah, it seems probably to be linked into insurance and whatever. That probably is a central factor to it. Or it's just some sort of paperclip counter who's come up with a really stupid idea.
Well, again, that's what we're looking into. But as I say, we surveyed all the control schools in Northern Ireland, and the principals have told us how frustrated they are about this process. You know, one came back and said that, you know, the fabric of school life is supported by the ability of school staff to transport pupils to a range of extracurricular activities that really add value to the education our young people are getting. And the introduction of these requirements would, you know, have a really debilitating effect on the quality of young people's education right across Northern Ireland, and that's something that we really don't want to see happening.
Yeah, as long as children, first and foremost, as long as they are safe and as long as they're being driven by competent drivers who, you know, have the ability to drive the minibus and who aren't just jumping into it without any experience, you'd just wonder how on earth you're ever going to provide the services that need to be provided for the development of a child's education if they take away that facility.
Absolutely. And say the regulation does come into place as early as next week, with the best will in the world, it's going to take at least 6 months to set up some sort of process by which thousands of teachers can access the training that they would be required to access. You then have to look at the cost. We reckon it could be about £700 just to take the test and get the training, but that doesn't cover the backfill required for teachers to leave the classroom for 35 to 36 hours to get this training. So there's additional costs. So you're talking possibly in around £1,500 per teacher to undertake this training. There's then the requirement to keep your licence, your certificate of competence up to date. So it's just the costs are just going to impact horrendously in schools who are already really struggling to make ends meet.
Have we had examples of where the school minibus hasn't been a safe place for school children? I'm not aware of reporting on that.
I'm certainly not aware of that. And again, it's not necessarily about driver competence. Your driving licence allows you to drive a minibus up to 15 seats. So it's a reinterpretation of a regulation that's just putting some more red tape in front of our teachers.
It definitely sounds like it. It absolutely sounds like it. Sarah, as I say, it's been around for a while. It's been one of these things I've been ignoring to some extent, and I'd be more than happy to hear from the infrastructure department to find out why on earth they think it is so important. My apologies indeed for not being as across it as maybe I should be with many of the stories that we do here on the programme, but it's one of those things that you could hardly make it up, but we'll no doubt get another angle on it eventually. But thanks for speaking to us, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. I have to support that woman going on, you know, what she's saying and my experience of schools. Dear, oh dear, like they're just inventing problems for the education system. Karen's on this line. Morning, Karen.
Good morning, Frank.
Tell me, Karen, why this is a good idea from the Department of Infrastructure.
Well, what I firstly would like to do is actually clarify the position, Frank. The regulation that dictates the requirements for the minibus driver licences is a 1996 regulation. Okay.
Okay, just turn your radio down for a second, Karen, in the background. Just turn the radio down and then we'll hear it all at the same time, or move away a wee bit from it. Go ahead.
Well, it's not new legislation, Frank, yeah. And it's not changed at all. The fact is now that the Department for Infrastructure are now clarifying the actual legal position. They're not changing the position. The position was not properly clarified in the past because there was a certain exemption allowed. But this is 1996 reg. The new guidance that's been put out is the clarification of what is legally required.
So the common sense way of doing it all along has been illegal.
The way it has been done all along was not compliant is exactly right.
So somebody somewhere counting paperclips spotted this?
Well, I don't think it was somebody counting paperclips. The position has been challenged now for a number of years that this actually wasn't the correct way to do things. It has been ongoing and being discussed with the department for some time. In fact, in 2014, the 10B permit holders who we are discussing, which would be the schools and education authority and the community transport, were advised that there was a need for proper clarification of what the requirements were to drive the minibuses in certain circumstances.
And who's driving it? If you excuse the pun, who's pushing this forward? Is it the insurance companies or is it the transport business who want to get the work and don't like the volunteer drivers?
No, I don't think it's anything to do with that, Frank. This is about safety. This is about priority, making it safe for your passengers and compliance with the regulations. In the end of the day, when you go out to drive a vehicle, your priority, number one, regardless of who you are or which fleet you work for or which driver you are, your priority should be, number one, that your vehicle is tested to the highest PSV standard, and number two, that your driver is tested and has the appropriate license to drive the vehicle. Now, if you're a teacher or a doctor or a journalist, you actually take the time to go and sit your exams, you get your qualifications, you do whatever is required to become competent in that role. It's exactly the same as drivers. Whether you're a volunteer or whether you're a paid driver, you have got to put the safety of your passengers first.
So it's not the Department of Infrastructure
coming up with
another way of getting more money out of people who are on the road, having to do yet another test so as there's a fee that has to be paid at some MOT type centre?
Well, look, Frank, this is not about money. And in the end of the day, there are at this minute in time, because the industry has to now look at those drivers who fit the bill and have to now have the D1 test, there are organisations out there who have offered special training courses and special prices to allow that to happen. Now, in the end of the day, whether it's £500 or £600, is it not more important that your child is safe when they're out in a minibus?
Where's the evidence, Karen, to suggest that there have been any minibus accidents, crashes, near misses?
Frank, we have now. We have had one, the anniversary of one we've had there recently, where a teacher in England who, after her day's work, actually took a number of children out.
But Karen, you've got to give me one example.
This is one example where she took the minibus out. She herself lost her life, as did other children.
Yes, but sadly, that's just reality. Statistics would show that that's probably going to happen eventually anyway.
If you were the parent of one of those children, you think was acceptable then that whenever it came to the incident, do you think it would be acceptable then to say, well, it was all right, it was going to happen anyway?
Well, what I'm saying is, it is going to happen anyway. Accidents happen on the roads. Collisions occur. There are thousands of minibuses from thousands of schools, the length and breadth of the United Kingdom, doing journeys every single day, and it is a very, very, very rare event for any of them, thankfully, to be involved in an incident. Whereas this seems like a sledgehammer to crack a nut. I really appreciate you coming to me on this. What is your background? What's your expertise? Which department are you with?
I represent the Federation of Passenger Transport. We're a local transport trade organisation who are set up to try and improve the safety standards.
Yes,
within the transport industry.
Okay, so you represent the transport industry.
I do.
So you would see more work for the transport industry if we could get rid of the volunteer drivers.
Well, nobody wants rid of the volunteer drivers.
You want to make it more difficult for people to volunteer.
Frank, I want everybody to comply with the regulations. That's all. We have to comply with the regulations.
But Karen, can you not see that there'll be people listening to this radio programme who will realise that you want volunteer drivers to be less evident, therefore paid drivers will be needed?
But Frank, what you are talking about is volunteer drivers. You are still missing the regulation, the fact that the regulation is talking about paid drivers and people who are paid. The teachers, as the lady explained to you, the teachers are paid. Once you take money, once you are paid, the regulation tells you that you have got to have the specific D1 licence and qualification card.
Yeah, but your organisation wants less people to be able
to get behind the wheel of a minibus in a school. Therefore, a minibus will have to be hired, or a driver will have to be hired.
No, Frank,
it's protecting jobs.
Frank, number one, it'll not benefit our organisation or people in any way, because what I am saying, and I'd like you now to listen to what I am saying and not to try and put words in my mouth. I have never, and we have never at any point, said there should be fewer of them. What we were saying is they should comply with the existing regulations, as every other driver has to do. That's exactly what we're saying. This is not new legislation. It goes back to 1996. The correct clarification of the legal position is now out there and has been given by the Department for Infrastructure, who there have to advise that this is the legal position and ensure compliance. This is not about taking away from them. Allow them to continue to do what they're doing, but only because they have to do it compliantly, and only because that the actual training that they get will help them, will actually improve passenger safety. So this is not about actually taking away any job or any volunteer. This is about just ensuring greater safety for our passengers, especially children.
But it's going to cost a fortune. It's going to cost
Frank,
time.
It's going to be
difficult for the education system. It's going to be difficult for the teachers. Less people are going to volunteer, and there's no evidence whatsoever, thank God, that people are at risk.
But Frank,
there's no evidence.
Your argument, but it's coming down to money, so it's coming down to you for the cost of a life. So for
but
our
there's no evidence that our children are at risk from these volunteer drivers in Northern Ireland. I have never, in my memory, reported on a minibus incident involving teachers from a school.
Okay, so you think then because there hasn't been an actual incident, it's okay then? It's okay to allow them
But they're not taking any risk. Karen, they're not taking any risk. You're emphasising a risk for your own group's advantage.
You can guarantee that there's no risk from any of these drivers.
There's an equal risk for everyone who goes out on the road. I'm talking about a reasonable set of circumstances.
Well, Frank, in the end of the day, I can only and will only ever stand over compliance with the regulations. And that's what this is about, compliance with an existing set of regulations that have existed since 1996, which all other drivers have to comply with.
Okay. No, you make a very clear point. And you know what? I really appreciate you coming on the programme, because you've given me absolute clarity in relation to the background of this, and I appreciate that.
Well, again, in the end of the day, it was only to try and even to try and advise everybody that isn't a set of new regulations.
Okay.
It is now a clarification of the existing legislation. It's not new and hasn't changed. It is important for us all to try and ensure and bring that improved passenger safety. We have the existing legislation, plus we also have to have the revision training every year to maintain skills, and that's very important. You cannot put a cost on the life of a child.
Okay. Karen, thank you.